Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 932. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir? Oh, it has been AEW decided to treat me to a pay-per-view on my birthday. The build-up for Sting's retirement was outstanding. And just because it was Sting's last match, I mean, Sting is definitely someone that I've mentioned it before in the podcast. Anyone with face paint when I was a child, I was a fan of. For whatever reason, that always suckered me in, even for evil teams like the Powers of Pain. Like, just throw face paint on and I'm in. So Sting was definitely someone that that came in around that time frame, and you know, yeah, I really remember that Clash of the Champions at the Greensboro Coliseum. Like, I remember watching that distinctly. So yeah, this was a pay-per-view that it felt like was not pass-upable, because just simply from that alone. Yeah. Yeah, because there were probably some other shenanigans distracting from some other matches that definitely put this one high on the list. And I mean, I think it was something that we've complained about a lot on the podcast, and I believe you pointed it out on X, where they actually did a pretty nice job of this at this pay-per-view of limiting the violence until the end. And it that helps. Yeah, when him and Sting were in the ring after the match and even talking about it, Sting's kind of like, man, we probably need to get this guy a doctor. Like, that, because that was one where you're like, oh, they're just juicing. I'm like, nah, that is not juice. That is the real deal right there. Yeah, and I was surprised, like, because I did watch that replay quite a few times. Just because, A, it was wild. I couldn't believe how many different angles I saw on, just on air and on X. Like, I feel like everyone had their camera out and was recording during that moment. And Darby, that man did as much as he could to protect himself. He was about as flat as possible, but he was still also jumping out of off of a very, very tall ladder inside of the ring to the floor. So, I would have to give him high marks for execution on that one. I would give that, you know, at least a 9.5 on the Olympic judge scale. So, yeah, he was, a crazy man, as expected. And I guess the one thing about it is, and we kind of wavered when we were doing the preview a bit, about whether Sting was going to go out with a win or not. And they decided to give Sting the win on the way out. And if I caught that, I do not remember it. I mean, I think you're right. Like, it kind of goes with that statement, whether he said it or not, it goes with your sentiment where that didn't really help Baron Corbin as much as it should have. You know, like, almost having Kurt Angle win the match and, like, give respect to Corbin might have worked better. You know, I mean, we're going Ray revisionist on this, but... yeah. Fair enough. No. Oh. Oh. After he kicked out of that, it was just like, oh, well, he's winning this thing. But still, like, that was really deep in. That was really deep in. Like, I mean, because I'm like, there's no way they're hitting him with I didn't figure they'd hit him with a third. And, yeah, they didn't, so. They did keep you guessing most of the match. yeah, there is a high chance of even more, more injury there. So, yeah. Yes, that was a... Yeah, well, I don't know when it was stated, but I do know that I saw that Tony Khan did announce the tournament, because he's like, I'm getting ready to fill out my March brackets. Who doesn't like a good tournament? And I'm just like, oh, okay. I mean, it is a good way to tie... You know, he was tying it in with TNT and TBS airing the NCAA games. yes. No. Yeah, I would think so. I mean, Darby Allin is still incredibly popular with the AEW crowd. And, I mean, it's hard to argue. Even when that guy isn't in hardcore matches, he just... You can tell that he is giving it 100%. Like, he's just... To me, I'm like, there is no doubt that this guy is going for it every time. So, it's always appreciated. Yeah, they definitely didn't look out of place. As far as the, it was limited, but... No, oh, yeah. Yeah, there is, well, it's hard to say that there's a physical toll when Sting is out there looking great at 64, really, you know, all things considered. Counterpoint, Ric Flair, who just, that man just concerns me every time I see him show up now. Like, yeah, not, no, I mean, he just, yeah, he looks every bit of 85 at this point. Wowzers, yeah, I mean, that man has tacked on another 10 years because of all of his previous shenanigans. But yeah, that was like, there are so many times where people want to come back and kind of have this dream ending involved. And, we've already seen, like, I guess I don't know how long Adam Copeland / Edge had in mind to head on out himself. But, I mean, that comeback has not gone that smoothly. You know, like, the fact that Sting was able to sustain this, and, you know, like, he really did, like, he wrestled just enough, you know, like, to not overdo it, always make it special, but stay relevant. Yeah, the whole thing, really, this whole 3-year run for Sting is pretty amazing. Yeah, even if you don't feel like working until you're 64, this type of send-off is a perfect one for anyone that is, dare I say, is iconic, is Sting. So, I don't know, is there anything else to cover within that match, or do we... I'm trying to think of, because the card was, the card moved, you know, there have been some times with, I guess I was not surprised that they really took this up to the midnight time limit here of the pay-per-view. The matches really moved along. Like, I did have some problems with BR Live, probably my own, and not the app's fault. The only match I did not see was Christian Cage versus Daniel Garcia. Any thoughts on that one for someone that did not catch that? If he was not in the Ricky Starks, I am out of here the moment my contract is up. I think we talked about that before in the preview podcast. Yeah, if I were him, I'm just out of there. You know, it's just like, okay, I've given you guys a chance to push me, and at every stop, you have stopped the push. See ya. They rebuilt him just to lose that match, which is just that is what the death is. Yeah. One guy that they did take over the edge, in my opinion, Eddie Kingston gets the W against Bryan Danielson. Would you say that he has been cemented in the upper tier for AEW? Yeah. Because that's, I was like, oh, he'll take on, and I'm like, oh, crap, he already beat Moxley. So. Well, it's definitely not going to be anyone higher on the card because, yeah, like, Blackpool Combat Club is off the list at this point. Like, Bryan Danielson was the last one on that list to get knocked off because Cesaro was on the list. Well, I think Wheeler Yuta was on the list, but whatever. And Moxley was on the list already. So there's, yeah, there's nowhere to go. For him. Yeah, that is an interesting spot for him to be in. Because I don't think they've done... Like, I feel like this is the first time I remember this belt having an important match. No. Oh. Oh. No. No. Yeah, I mean, the only other bigger, I guess, if you wanted to go that route, he was in the next match. Well, there are a couple of them in the next match. Wardlow ends up winning what was Meat Madness and then ended up becoming an 8-man scramble because AEW does not have enough large, talented gentlemen to actually have a Meat Madness match. It really seemed like real asininery that he was going to wait for MJF to come back. But yeah, just go win that thing, Wardlow. I don't know. I was just going to say, I don't know if he's going to do that, but... well, this is one where I will wait to see. I guess when that becomes he loses to Samoa Joe becomes official, I will finally shut that door. I will leave it that much ajar. Just because, I mean, if they are planning and they have him win the championship and then, I mean, Adam Cole is a guy that I don't feel like I've seen on TV and Lord only knows how long. I mean, I know that he's still injured, but, you know, if MJF and Adam Cole can come back roughly at the same time, you might be able to work something with that. But, yeah, it's especially when your ankle turns into mush. And evidently, it's not just a broken ankle that you can come back from in a month. Like, you've got to take, like, nearly a year to come back. That is still wild that you can do that to your body, jumping down 4 foot or something like that. No. Well, yeah, that was one thing I was going to say, too. Like, it almost seems like if he takes that title shot up sooner rather than later, that's a bigger problem. Like, if he waited until down the line to be the person, he might pull it off, but I don't feel like Samoa Joe is going to cough up his championship reign that easily. So... yeah, they are, because did they announce, was it AEW Dynasty? Madison Square Garden. Oh. That's just, yeah, the planning on that still is mind-bogglingly terrible, but... Yeah, that's, like I said, I guess if that's the next challenger, Wardlow's chances are much lower than if it's one of those later pay-per-views. You brought him up, and he was in the next match. Roderick Strong, no longer a joke, question mark. He wins the AEW International Championship. Oh. Yep. Yeah, after this second international reign, did not start off great, but I feel like it ended fairly well here. Yeah. Yeah, would not be offended if that's what ended up happening. Yeah, get him just some regular feuds for some reason or another, and then go from there. Good luck, Orange Cassidy. We are hoping that you move on to bigger and better things. John Moxley, Claudio Castagnoli defeat FTR in the next match. Were you surprised by the outcome, sir? No. Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember who I picked in the preview of this match, honestly. But yeah, FTR has been established. It's still weird that they have probably gotten more screen time without championships in AEW than with them. But yeah, I mean, those two can always bounce back from it. Everyone likes them, and like you said, like, if Claudio and John are going to be a tag team, at least for, you know, the near future here, they needed the win too. You know, I'm in the same boat. Like, but both of them are pretty established, so it's a whatever. That is a good question, because I am not completely sure myself. I'm in the same boat. Like, there wasn't anything that that really seemed to have happened. Like, and it was fairly early in the match. Or no, it was about halfway through the match, I guess. yeah, I don't think I will give this a rewatch to figure out that mystery, but it definitely happened. And oh, man. Toni Storm taking on Deonna Purrazzo, AEW Women's Championship. Toni Storm ends up retaining. Yeah, it was just kind of okay. Like, I guess I was thinking more about the outcome in general. I feel like the women's champions have had their legs cut out from them more frequently than even the men's champions, if that's believable. But, so I guess I did think it was kind of nice that Toni Storm got the W here. You know, it always feels like the new flavor of the month comes in and ends up winning the women's championship. Yes, there is. Toni Storm, fare thee well. I do not think your championship reign is going to last much longer. One of those matches, Chris, that you talked about way earlier, that maybe some people would talk about its quality being on par with the main event. Your thoughts on Will Ospreay versus Kanosuke Takeshita? No. Yeah, I like the match a lot. I do think that that felt, I don't know why it felt a little more egregious in that match than the other matches. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Hulking up. yeah, I think that is part of where I land, where it's just like, okay, like, it is what it is, especially, yeah, they did. Yeah, it's more egregious in AEW than it is in WWE. Not that it doesn't happen at WWE, but just a little more frequent there. Last match to cover here, Chris. Samoa Joe, Swerve Strickland, Adam Hangman Page, three-way for the AEW Championship. Did the announcers do a good enough job of selling Adam Page's intent for maybe tapping out a little too easily just to spite Swerve Strickland? I would be disappointed in Adam Page if he does not say that first. Like, he has devolved into such a shitty heel off of his house being invaded and his infant child being threatened, ? But this is what's happened. I do think that it's just the next step in... Adam Page is a heel, even if he didn't really mean it in the moment, you know. He should definitely sell that way moving forward. And that could really work out. Have them fight while Samoa Joe's off with Wardlow, and then Swerve gets a later championship shot. And I guess it did make quite a great deal of sense for Adam Page to be the one to eat this loss too, rather than Swerve. So. You know, he's still positioned in a fairly good way to be able to capitalize in AEW here. So I was glad with how that match ended up playing out. I mean, I do feel like I expected Joe to retain. This seems like the most logical way to go. I feel like we kind of talked about the overall event and all the matches now. So, ready for some SmackDown? I mean, the first 38 minutes of this show was consumed by Seth Rollins, Cody Rhodes, and the Bloodline plus The Rock, or however you want to word that. The Bloodline with The Rock. That was wild. I mean, obviously, if you're going to a show these days and you get The Rock, I'm pretty sure you're okay with nothing really happening in the first 38 minutes of the match, or of the night. Yeah, I felt like he did a good job of dancing around things a little bit. Like, he didn't overreact to the situation where you're like, oh man, he is definitely selling him off at some point later. Like, there wasn't like this super level of tension, but there was something there. There was enough hesitation that, you kind of felt like something still might come down the line for The Rock and Roman Reigns. I mean, it is wild that maybe they could turn this situation into The Rock appearing at back-to-back WrestleManias, honestly. Yeah, I don't know what the original plan would have been for Cody. That would have been kind of interesting. Yeah, and then on Raw, of course, we ended up getting the rebuttal from Cody Rhodes and then Seth Rollins, who, they are coming to SmackDown this week to officially answer them, because, what, they did not accept for sure. Yeah, that was a very circuitous route that they decided to take with their promos. But yeah, I mean, I think that they did a nice job of locking them in as on the same page. Like, just because they have been in opposition to each other for so long, I do think that a segment like that will help them out in the long run of this story here. What, we still have another month plus to get through? So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of story to tell, but this is one of those good starting blocks to build off of for Seth and Cody being on the same page after being enemies for, well, all of Cody's second reign in the WWE. So, trying to think of what else, I guess speaking of, judges' ratings in the Olympics, do you, sir, noted, Austin Theory, disliker, have a, judges' score for his selling of the RKO? Okie dokie. I mean, I guess I saw it a lot of places, so I figured that the people like the monkey roll or whatever he does, little victory roll type situation he's got going on there into the RKO. I guess I feel like they've done something with it, but that, yeah, that one was pretty nice, I guess. So, okie dokie. Well, fair enough. Is Naomi already regretting her time back in the WWE, or is that paycheck looking good enough that, losing to Tiffany Stratton? That is a true statement. Because, yeah, there are a couple of NXT persons. Well, I feel like Tiffany's had a couple of matches, but Bron Breakker also had a match this week against Zion Quinn, of all people. Yeah, stick to your guns. That's what they're going to need to do with that type of push. I guess maybe second biggest thing here on SmackDown, really, of note to happen, Dakota Kai officially turns on Bayley. And joining up with her former Japanese friends, or now friends officially again, in Damage Control. all three of them very good at wrestling. Well, actually, Dakota Kai, all of them are very good at wrestling, am I saying? So, I guess I should not. Yeah, unsurprising things from Io Sky here. She is quite the professional. I do think that they did enough to not make Bayley Sting adjacent by having her doubt Dakota Kai's intentions the last couple of weeks, but then kind of finally caving to this match. So, you know, she wasn't a complete dumb head, but, you know, when it's 3-on-1 most of the time, you suppose you can use some help. So, I can't completely fault Bayley in this situation. But yeah, I mean, it really does nail down Bayley as the baby face for the first time since she came up from NXT, which is a wild, wild situation. So, Bayley has been a heel for quite some time. I guess one other return that ends up happening on SmackDown, Rey Mysterio, back in the house, but he killed his only feud when he popped back up. Oh, yeah, this one's definitely early on in the card, should it make its way to WrestleMania. You brought up Dominic Mysterio in this situation. May as well move along to him. That gentleman took quite a beating from Gunther this week on Raw. Yeah. That really turned out as well as you could ask. So, what else? I'm trying to think of. I guess we did maybe start to establish that there's going to be some type of multi-women's tag team match at WrestleMania this year. It doesn't really need to be a whole lot more than that. It's the women's tag team. Well, it's any tag team match in the WWE. Becky Lynch, Nia Jax, and Liv Morgan extended their little rivalry going on here. Again, there's a lot of time left in this feud, so it is not completely surprising that, they're kind of stretching this little story out here. We you know, Rhea went by and laughed at Becky for all of her issues, and that is to be expected, quite frankly. So, you know, Andrade got a win this week. That wasn't a big deal. I don't know. Is there much to say about Damian Priest and Finn Balor beating Imperium in a tag team match? Uh-oh. Oh. Oh, that would be kind of hilarious if that ended up happening. But yeah, I do not foresee that being on the plate here. So I don't know. Is there a story with Michael Cole completing his love affair with Valhalla and her deer antlers? Yes. Yes, it was. I guess the last thing to talk about is Jimmy Uso continuing the Players Haters Club existence and costing his brother Jey Uso yet another match. He's doing a good job of still he's still trying to keep up the facade that he's a good guy. So, you know, it's got to go with part of the package. Yeah, it's pretty funny what The Rock is trying to pull off here. So, good for him. Anything else to cover before hitting the old dusty trail here? Oh. Yeah, seems like the right place, no? yeah, that's a strong one. Like, he's one of the few people, Heyman is one of the few people that I'm just like, oh, you've kind of got my interest. Like, I haven't really gotten into the Hall of Fame that much recently. But yeah, I guess Paulie's another one that I've seen the man pretty much the whole time I've watched wrestling. That is wild. And that is quite a career to have had. So, yes, he deserved it. And, you know, talking about deserve, it has been pretty interesting to see all of the cross-promotional love here. Because Michael Cole and Pat McAfee mentioned the Sting match. Taz sent something on X about Paul Heyman going into the WWE Hall of Fame. Everyone's one big, happy corporate family now. It goes smooth as a baby's bottom. Bell Time Beer on my end here. Ill-Mannered Brewing, 38-minute abs, West Coast IPA, 6.5% alcohol, 76 IBUs. This thing is a pretty tasty standard beer out of Powell, Ohio. Northwest here of Columbus, and it's a very good brewery. I've mentioned it a couple of times before. It gets a few more stops now going up to good friend Josh's house. So, yeah, should one find themselves in the vicinity of Powell, Ohio, Ill-Mannered Brewing, a high level of suggestion. They have all kinds of tasty beers up there. So that is the Belton beer from Matt DeFrango 11. He is at Stunt Cali. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Amazon. Have a good night, grandkids.